Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
We're back to another Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing well. Obviously, so much to get to. As we warned all of you, sometimes you just have to be patient. Patience is a virtue. And look, even though none of you were patient, even sometimes we get impatient, it paid off, at least in this one time. Before we get into the arrival of Mr. Dovbeek, we want to thank our two newest patrons over at Patreon, Thomas McCray and John Forte. Fantastic surname. We thank you both for your support. If you would like to join, get early access to episodes, get whatever version of the mugs I'm going to do by ripping off. I won't say ripping. Well, no, ripping off the official IS Roma store. You can go to patreon.com/RomaPress to join. And of course, if you could subscribe, like all of that YouTube stuff at IS Roma Press, we would greatly appreciate it. I appreciate it. See, I can barely speak because I am running on over the previous two evenings, Andy, about 5 to 6 hours of sleep, primarily because of which this guy, I hesitate to even call him an agent, but for all intents and purposes, he is registered as an agent.
On the last episode, you called him a clown, so I don't think this is going to make it.
Listen. So I have, of course, talking about the agent of Artem Dovbeek, as unless you are just waking up from a coma now, and the first thing you decided to do was listen to this podcast or watch the video version of the podcast, which something has gone so terribly wrong. If this is like in the first few things that you do post coma, the coma may have even been even in a better state than having to subject yourself to this day in and day out. But if this is indeed the first thing you are hearing post coma, Roma, they have agreed to a deal and they are getting Artem Dovbeek. He is already in the Italian capital. He arrived at Ciampino Airport earlier today, which is Thursday. We are recording this Thursday evening. Deal is done. 39 million euros. This thing, Andy, it came about quickly. It came about, I would say, and you mentioned this on the last episode, relatively unforeseen. It seemingly went from Roma are interested in Dovbeek to, oh, Roma have struck a deal with Dovbeek. I have to say, the early signs of Florent Ghisolfi are about as good as you could possibly have ever hoped for. Now, because I have been spending more time on Twitter, I've been trying to make a conscious effort to find my way back onto there in recent days and actually get my head out of my backside and start.
I saw, but those attempts were rather timid, John. I saw attempts, they were quite timid.
Well, they are timid because it's for instances like this. Like I was on a very, very, very small radio yesterday. When the deal was agreed upon, I was on there for about half an hour, and then I come back, and the first thing I get, because all I did was put a bell to sort of just signal the thing I reported some days ago about Dovbeek, he and his agent pushing for the deal to get done on Tuesday. When Ghisolfi flew to Spain to hold talks with Girona, I think I tweeted about half an hour after his agent told to everybody, yeah, it's done. Because, of course, that's what he did. For those of you who may, this is sort of like an inside, behind the curtain, inside baseball, I think they call it, sort of the view into things. it's not as if one person gets it and somebody is another media outlet is copying them or something. No, it's the same guy messaging it to anybody, everybody. So if you're on your phone at that exact moment, you're going to be the first one to get the news. That's all it is. So I forget which account did it, but after I was done appearing on the radio, the person told me too late. I was too late to just announce about Dovbik, which fantastic. But I have to say, man, the way this whole thing came about, I love every single thing about it. The only thing I don't like about it is his agent. I love the fact he everything spilling everything to everyone. It doesn't matter how. Again, I'm convinced if he had tried, I haven't checked Roma Giallorossa, but I'm sure Marco Violi had something on it too. I mean, this guy was saying everything to everyone. If you had a pulse, I'm sure some of our patrons even
one of the local media outlets even had a photo of Gisolfi sitting down to dinner with Dovbik. I don't think it was just luck for a reporter of a local news outlet to be in that particular restaurant at that particular time. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think there it was definitely some help from the person closest to Dovbik. And, you know, there has to be there in an age where you get these agents who sort of pick and choose what to reveal and to whom. It was quite refreshing to see this guy just being a motor mouth to basically anybody willing to listen and saying more or less the same things. I mean, you know, not really changing his line, just being very open about what the player wants, what the difference between the two clubs is, what's going to happen next. You know, we knew every step of the way. And I think that also helped accelerate this deal because, John, between the time when it was first reported, this interest of Roma's in Dovbik and the deal being closed, it was 8 days.
Incredible.
Eight days. It took 8 days to find an agreement for a player that 8 days ago was considered unapproachable because he was in advanced talks with Atletico and also because the costs involved were deemed prohibitive. And instead, we find ourselves, as you said, you know, deal is done. Dovbik is in Rome. He's undergone his medical. He's signing his contract. $39 million. This deal will be worth. The guy will sign 5-year deal with Roma. And I must say, knowing how his agent works, I would immediately put another release clause on him right off the bat. You got to, you know,
it's
you
fun on the
think,
front end. Yeah, exactly. This is going to, unless he is here for life, just wait until the point comes, hopefully a very long time from now, obviously.
For good reason.
When it
for
happens
good
on the back end. Well, listen, I might as well just say one of the names that I want to thank because I was working and I mentioned this to the patrons in the WhatsApp group, but there was a Spanish journalist that myself and a few others that were working with a local guy in Spain who was able to get some pretty good photos and keep us up to date on the situation. Arnau Paul is his name. So I just want to give him a little love because he was working with myself, Filippo, Corriere dello Sport. He was working with, and he was nice enough to work with us on a couple of details, knowing where they were going to have dinner for example. So I want to thank him, but also I want to thank the agent of Dovbik because it was.
Oh, you sell out.
No. In all seriousness, like,
It's nice. It's nice because it's a murky world. I mean, you know it best. It's a really murky world, the one of agents. And especially in these big transfers, you never know what you're dealing with, right? So I think at the beginning, every one of us was scared that this news of us being interested in him was only a way for the agent to up Atletico's bid for him and perhaps improve their offer, improve their commissions. That was the fear. I think it took only like 3 days for the agent to come out again, out in the open to that Ukrainian news outlet and openly state that the thing with Atletico was dead in the water and it was all Roma now.
Yes. And listen, he does exude a bit clownish behavior. Listen, anybody who goes on their personal Instagram and is an agent and tweets out screenshots of Fabrizio Romano tweets.
Wasn't it adorable to see him also take a video of Dovbik when he landed in Ciampino? The guy was basically fanboying for his client, you know, at the airport, taking a video of him greeting the fans. 200 fans were out there lined up outside of Ciampino, 40 degrees Celsius outside, you know, a scorching Thursday afternoon. And
anybody who has been to Ciampino knows it is a shit show. If you are going there, particularly for Roma related purposes, for a player, because it's private jets. But it's so compact. It is so compact there. Very, very little room to operate. I mean, yeah. I remember last summer with Lukaku. Dan lands a plane. I mean, it looked like some sort of open air prison with the people huddled together. Insanity. So, yes.
It was nice, you know. It's always, again, I just want to say, it's, you know, we live in a world where these various characters that populate the world of football. I mean, just think about Zaniolo's agent, for example. I mean, that's a guy who just, you know, built a whole narrative around his client and told stories of varying reliability to all kinds of news outlets, and he constantly kept changing the story. That's something I don't want. You know, if you're gonna be open about something, be open the way Dovbik's agent was. This definitely helped also, because Dovbik's agent, I mean, that puts pressure on a club in a way that makes it clear that the player is long gone. Dovbik mentally was long gone from Girona. He may have appeared in a friendly yesterday, but there was no way that Girona could have even tried keeping him any longer. And that message was made clear, was emphasized by the agent behaving the way he behaved. Obviously, when you're on the receiving end of it, when you're Girona, that pisses you off. Yeah, it pisses you off because you got someone who's out there stabbing you in the back, basically, selling out. But for us, this worked. And this is why we can say, you know, obviously there is tremendous work that was done by Ghisolfi and Suloku, who flew there and flew back, knowing full well they had to get that player. They had to be back on that flight, private flight to Ciampino, and they couldn't come back empty-handed.
Yeah, listen, there are some things from a backroom standpoint about this deal in particular that fascinate me. I did something on this some months ago about Lina Suluku, her ever-growing influence from not just the off the pitch perspective and the business perspective or a stadium perspective, but now on the pitch. I know we mentioned this probably 1 or 2 months ago. And we talked about this specifically, but I just remember so vividly when she first arrived to Roma, it was, she will handle the business off the pitch things. Thiago Pinto will handle everything on the pitch, but that is no longer the case, as we can clearly see. She's having a far bigger hand into things, a lot more public facing. Now, that is something I spoke of when I did the Patreon update some months ago about Lina Suluku. That was one thing I mentioned. I mean, we saw her, Andy, just out of nowhere making appearances at the UEFA draw. We see her doing more interviews, being more outspoken about the stadium.
She's at the stadium. She's traveling with the team.
Yes. Clearly, a conscious effort was made to get her more involved. And I think once Thiago Pinto decided to leave, I always thought they were going to shift to a more cohesive model, so to speak, where you don't have this separation of on and off the pitch. But to see her growing in influence, it is interesting to see. But obviously, that doesn't take away at all what Florent Guissolfi is being tasked with and the fantastic job he is doing early on. Let's just listen. How many days has officially he been in charge? 2 months? When did he start? The 1st of June?
Yeah. Yeah, that was he became first week of June he became operative.
Okay, so 2 months. I am hard pressed to think. Now, obviously, I could look back on this moment in 3 months and saying, "Wow, what an idiot! How could you ever have thought that?" But no matches have been played, so I can only go on the information that I have right now. I am hard pressed to think of a more impactful, a more positive, a more successful start for a sporting director this early on. I mean, listen, there are some things in his favor that others did not have. For instance, having essentially 3 to 5 of the most, almost half of your top 10 most expensive guys just falling off the books. Two of which were the most significantly burdensome in the form of Romelu Lukaku, Spinazzola, Rui Patricio. Okay, yeah, you know, Monchi didn't have that. He didn't have that ability to do that.
Mm-hmm. Also worth noting, Rome probably he came to the financially healthiest Roma in years.
Yes,
I would even argue in a decade or so.
Oh, without a doubt. In fact, I would say perhaps even the healthiest since, do we dare say, since the first season of Palotta?
Okay, yeah.
I always forget that guy's name who was there for like 1 year.
Benedetto.
Yes, he was there. The transitional guy, yeah?
Benedetto.
So, I don't think that's a stretch at all to say that. Now, I do think, again, that even though this is still the healthiest, at least financially, Roma have been in some time, there was also the easing of the UEFA financial fair play restrictions. Let's be clear here. I mean, this is still, even when you look across Serie A, we're not even in the same arena. We are not even in the same era as, you know, Serie A, Premier League. So when people think of this high spending, high rolling Roma,
we're 6th year without Champions League. Even Bologna, yes, have gotten Champions League before us. You know, like we're right now, we're in a summer where we have to compete with the likes of Bologna, where even Bologna can be like, you know what, we can go for this player and Roma cannot because we have the prestige of being able to play in the Champions League. Like that's a fact, you know, like Mats, yes, Hummels is considering Bologna just because they're playing in the Champions League, something that would have been unthinkable 2 years ago. So, you know, the Guissolfi walks into a situation that is far more optimal than the one I would say Thiago Pinto has faced in recent years and before him everybody else, because as perhaps with the exception of Monchi in that one season where everything went wrong, because just that was where it was carte blanche and Roma were still regulars in the Champions League, whatnot. Okay. But this year, we're talking about a Roma team that is transitioning, a Roma team that is revolutionizing its squad, a Roma team that has more question marks than answers, because guess what? Mourinho is gone, Thiago Pinto is gone, a whole idea of Roma is gone. Squad needs to be rejuvenated, costs must be contained, balance sheet must be straightened out, the salary has to be, the salary and commissions list has to be put into some some kind of context that makes it work and not overflow and then have long-lasting consequences. So Florent Ghisolfi came in with, well, on one hand, a clear mission to change things, because clearly it was not, it was unsustainable, it was financially not viable in the long run. Roma, once again, poor results given the costs of the squad, given everything that went on beforehand. At the same time, quite a challenging and unclear context, because what kind of manager is Daniele De Rossi? Which pieces work? Which pieces do not work? What is the direction that the coach wants to go in? What's the direction that the Friedkins want to go in? So a whole thing of lining up, of confronting yourself exactly. You're talking about Lina Suluku. Lina Suluku has the CEO title, and Florent Ghisolfi has the technical director title for a reason, because Lina Suluku clearly shares sporting duties as well. Lina Suluku is doing everything right now. We are surprised, because that's what a CEO should be doing. I mean, Gandini, think about that.
I thought you were going to mention my man who kind of resembled Alec Baldwin that liked to...
Baldissoni.
No, the other one that looked like... maybe it was him. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not referring to anybody specifically who liked to indulge in...
John, we get it.
Any substances or offered any to me at any point during a North American tour.
Okay.
On an evening in 2013.
Okay.
I'm not hinting at anybody specific. There's several people at the club during that time that looked like Alec Baldwin.
Okay.
Maybe it was Sabatini. I don't know. But anyway.
I don't think. Well, anyway, but that's the truth, is that Lina Suluku, you know, right now she is doing what a CEO should be doing, which is basically, I mean, cover every single area of the club, make sure that everything is running smoothly. She's been doing that, because before heading to Spain with Florent Ghisolfi joining him there, she was talking to the mayor of Rome. She was inaugurating. She was inaugurating in the name of Antonio Falchi. She was discussing the stadium beforehand. So with Ryan Friedkin at the council, at the city council, all of it is that's what she's doing. So we're talking about an executive who's definitely growing in power, who is making sure the ship is sailing, and Florent Ghisolfi coming in from a completely different context, such as the one in Nice. Now that's a challenge. That's a challenge. And what he's done now, he started that thing of rejuvenating the squad. The only player over 30 right now that we got is Matthew Ryan, Dovbik 27, Dal 21, Buba Sangare 16, Lefe 23. So we're, you know, Sule 21, we're heading in a different direction. The team is taking shape. Doesn't mean that we're world beaters again, because again, the opinion sways from 0 to 100, you know, especially in the Roma Press patron group chat. But the thing is, if there was one thing we had to do, was change. And right now we are seeing that. We're seeing the club change. Now, we can talk about what Roma need to focus on now. But what we're hearing is Tammy Abraham, his position at the club is compromised. Nicola Zaleski, with only 1 year left on his contract, very unlikely to stay. We have to get a new right back. Why? Because Rick Karsdorp has been excluded from the team. Rick Karsdorp has now changed agents. So that could potentially mean that he's heading somewhere soon. We have to perhaps get another defender, because, hey, guess what? Chris Smalling is once again dealing with an injury. So these are all things that we still have to address. But what we can say for a fact is that Roma, this new Roma team, is starting to take shape. I know it's the 1st of August as we're recording this, But this is the moment where these things happen. You know, people have this weird conception that as soon as the gong strikes, you're supposed to have 10 signings lined up. That's not the case. This is where it all starts getting interesting. This is where it all gets and melts into one big pot. All the teams, all the clubs in Serie A and in Europe, this is where they all come together and start to address their respective issues.
Yeah, this is something that should always be expected. Again, no matter how often we warn people, very few tend to heed our warning. Listen, now we're going to see if this was the hot period where Roma bringing in guys, there is obviously right now, this is going to be where they begin to offload, which is what they have to do, as you said, Karsdorp, Tammy Abraham. That deal is going to be interesting. I think we're going to see some accounting gymnastics, so to speak, happen here, which is why we're seeing the likes of counterparts being discussed, being included into a deal from Milan. They have to do this now because, yes, you had very important wages fall off, but now we have to worry about Plus Valenza not making a Minus Valenza on somebody like Tammy Abraham. So we had our exciting week, so now it's time to calm down, get rid of some of the dead weight that still remains. I want to talk about, though, this thing with Dovbyk. We discussed it a little bit, how he may fit in the team, but I want to just put this graphic up now about the just comparing Dovbyk to Lukaku, particularly their last season. Now, they're obviously Dovbyk coming off one of his best seasons, and Girona as a whole, I mean, fantastic season. They were at the top of the table in La Liga at various points during the season. This is something where, just thinking back, Andy, like top scorer in the Spanish league, the prime. I mean, this is the prime. You, if you could have your choice of the age, of the experience, of really any player that you're going to spend an exorbitant amount of money on, okay, this is it. He has it. Okay, he is now. Limited experience, as you mentioned on the last episode, in the top four leagues. We understand that. But man, when I look at his numbers from last season compared to Lukaku, I mean, it is it's astounding. Now, of course, there's several reasons for why a guy like Romelu Lukaku scores 13 goals in Serie A, which is, I mean, still respectable, while Dovbyk has almost double that. I mean, they both did outperform the XG, so that's good, obviously. But I when it comes to Dovbyk, I am thoroughly impressed with the versatility of this guy. And I think when you compare his game to that of Romelu Lukaku, I just think the versatility he provides, I just think that adds a different dimension. Now, does that mean, what do you think now? Do you think De Rossi decides to continue with the 4-3-2-1? Does he go back? We know he always liked the 4-3-3. Does he go to the 4-2-3-1? I think we need to wait and see. But when it comes to a partnership, because I think I'm not exactly going out on a limb by saying it's going to be Sule, Dybala, Dovbyk. I have to tell you, I think that is about as good or ideal of a mixture of technical ability. Obviously, when it comes to the work rate, maybe something to be desired there. But as far as how these guys all fit together, what do you think? Because when you look at last season, now obviously, again, it's a different Roma with De Rossi versus Mourinho. But it's not as if Lukaku was scoring lights out under De Rossi, even though Roma certainly appeared far more free-flowing, so to speak, in attack under De Rossi once Jose Mourinho left. He still really had problems finding his footing. Now, again, he still had a respectable goal tally. Okay, we understand that. But I have to say, I feel like with Dovbyk, just when we're comparing those two players, because that's who Roma had as their number nine last year, and this is who they have this season. So that's why we're comparing the two. I think Dovbyk, the way he plays, his game, I think he opens up a lot more things compared to the last season's version of Romelu Lukaku.
Well, you know, any time you can combine a player of Dovbyk's characteristics with someone like Paulo Dybala, and then you even add to that Matias Sule, who was the sole creator for Frosinone, who, you know, had a whole bunch of guys who were part-time plumbers, you know, still running the show. I think what you said, he was responsible for, you know, for a great part of Frosinone's goals and assists last season.
One third, I believe.
Exactly.
I said it in the last one, but like a third.
That's quite the feat, given also Frosinone's entire attacking output and also ability, first of all, because, you know, as great as Eusebio Di Francesco's 4-3-3 was and is, they ended up where they ended up for a reason. But I do think if there is someone who can benefit from that is Dovbyk. Dovbyk had great help at Girona. If we can let the hype overwhelm our emotions, we can also conclude that he's going to have great help at Roma too, because why shouldn't it work to have Matias Sule and Paulo Dybala out there all at the same time together with Dovbyk? Well, these are the famous last words, because we all thought we had the same thing when Dybala joined and Zaniolo was there and Tammy Abraham and everything, and then it was just a mess. And Dybala was the only bright spot in that second year of Mourinho. But here in this case, I really do think that, I mean, you're getting a player who is in his prime, who is on an all-time confidence high, who has everything going for him after rejecting, openly rejecting Atletico Madrid and making it a point to go from Girona, who play in the Champions League, going from rejecting Atletico Madrid, who play in the Champions League, going to a team that plays in Europa League, that is has been notoriously underperforming in recent years in the league, that leaves much to be desired in terms of, you know, the kind of football they played under Jose Mourinho. And for some stretches with De Rossi, we saw also glimpses of that old Roma there. But that's a statement. That's a statement that means that you are getting a player who's ready for a challenge, ready to contribute. So, you know, for people questioning the concept of statement signing, well, this is a statement signing for Roma, because they did hijack a deal. They did push their way through. They did they did go onto the scene much too late to everybody's perception of it. Everybody was like, what? Why? I mean, everybody was describing it. Sky Sport was describing it as last-minute attempt, you know. Roma went for it, and they got what they wanted. They addressed this very glaring void in the squad, which was a replacement of Romelu Lukaku. And, well, they did put a nail in the coffin of Tammy Abraham at the club. Oof. As in a proper nail in the coffin of Tammy Abraham being considered a starter, which he's no longer considered. That's the main conclusion for me, is Tammy Abraham's fate has been sealed with this signing, because you're not bringing in some veteran who's going to be happy to share minutes. You're not bringing in Alvaro Morata like Milan did, and, you know, they're getting a player who if needed, will do his thing and will contribute to a la Giroud. But for the most part, if there is someone happy also to work with someone else, that's Alvaro Morata. No, no. Dovbyk wants the ball all to himself. There's not going to be any sharing with Tammy Abraham. And Tammy Abraham rightfully wants to get back into consistent minutes after missing such a large stretch of the season in the past campaign. So to me, Dovbyk immediately pushes Tammy Abraham out, realigns Roma's priorities. So a right back, an additional midfielder, a winger, perhaps a defender if money allows. But the thing that is certain now is that Roma are going to focus on the outgoing transfers, and Tammy Abraham will be one of the first names that they will have to push out, because you just cannot have, first of all, an unhappy player and one that what weighs upon your balance sheet, what do we say last time, 14 million, something like that. So
yes, hold on, let me get it, because it is, if we just want to talk about burdensome, I mean nobody really comes close to how heavy Tammy Abraham weighs onto the books of Roma. It is kind of sad in a way, because the way we feel of Dovbyk right now is, if you remember, if we want to go back in time, somewhat similar. Because remember, Thiago Pinto, he flies to London, he goes to Roma's
but Tammy Abraham, as in when you describe, yes, the fashion in which Thiago Pinto went in, remember, Edin Dzeko leaves the club, Roma have Tammy Abraham done and dusted in 7 days. That's how long it took to get everything started and finished.
Yes.
And there was a blitz in London for him. But Tammy Abraham was coming in as a promise, or as rather a player,
right,
who was still to be unlocked. Dovbyk has been unlocked. Dovbyk, yes, he may have played for smaller teams in the past. He may have played in Ukraine, in Denmark, sure. But Dovbyk last season in a very competitive La Liga, he's unlocked. He's scoring goals left and right. He's showing he is the leader. He's showing he is a powerful presence to lead the team. Tammy Abraham has done anything but show those things in his limited minutes after returning from injury. It's not even, I'm one of the Tammy Abraham fans. I do think that in his second year, he was really, really difficult to watch. I think when he came back from the injury, there was too much pressure on him. He put too much pressure on himself, and he was horrendous. So in fairness to him, he deserves more minutes, but he deserves them elsewhere. Because this Roma team cannot go on making the same mistakes as they've done in the past. Keeping Tammy Abraham, keeping him unhappy on the bench, costing the team a lot of money, would be one of those mistakes. And I do believe that Roma will do everything in their power to right it.
Yeah, and they have to. Listen, I like Tammy Abraham. As you said, that second season was, I will never forget some of the misses that guy had. Do you remember that? I mean, they were so, so glaring. So, I mean, sitters at times where this guy, you would be astounded as to how anybody could possibly miss that goal. But he does need a fresh start. Roma can't afford to wait on him. They can't. If he goes to a place like Milan, you get a handful of starts behind Morata. See if you can refine that form. But for how much he weighs on the books of Roma, they can't afford to just have him sitting there waiting. And they can't afford to be patient with him. It's the unfortunate reality as to how much they paid for him. This is the result. If a guy like that gets hurt, it's a blow to everyone. With just going back to this Dovbyk thing very quickly before we end this here, I'm still astounded because again, it does have sort of that air as to the blitz at Thiago Pinto did. He goes to Roma's offices in London, he lands, and he and Jose Mourinho, they're trying all this time to convince Tammy Abraham. I have to tell you, though, because one of the things that bothered me about this deal with Dovbyk from a reporting standpoint was, we know Gisolfi is going to Spain, and then he lands on Tuesday, he's there. And then they're meeting Gisolfi, Girona, Roma, his agent. I mean, they met for hours and hours. And then it was Roma said it to like Sky Sport and I believe Sport Italia. They were saying, well, no, we didn't have any meetings. We're meeting with them Wednesday. And Di Marzio, he goes on his television program and he says, it was only Roma and his agent met today. The clubs will meet tomorrow. And then Wednesday comes and the deal was done like within minutes during the day. So it's just, no. Everything was done on Tuesday. What? Do you think Gisolfi already was going to, book a flight leaving there empty-handed on Wednesday? No, come on. Let's be serious. Just him going there, getting it done, and then coming back just over 24 hours later. It's especially a deal of this magnitude, Andy. It's one thing if it's, a deal for Baldanzi or something, and even that was expensive. But I mean, the absolute commitment of the guy. And by the way, I just love the thing of him showing up at the airport. Can I just say that? I think Monchi did that too, if I'm not mistaken. He did that for Cristante. You remember that?
I don't remember anything with Cristante.
Okay. All right.
It's a blur.
Well, Ramon Monchi, because if you remember, this was, I think, the only thing I even have the modicum of respect for him for during his time at Roma, notwithstanding the fact he misspelled my name incorrectly for two straight years.
I do remember him going to grab Santon at the airport.
Maybe it was Santon.
It was Santon, John. It was Santon. Cristante, at the time of his signing, was a big deal. But Santon came in as this counterpart, nonsensical counterpart in the deal for Nainggolan. Everybody was angry, and Monchi just went out there to get him, give him some confidence. Well, it worked, I think, for like five games, and then it wore off. Speaking of fullbacks, just to end it here, because I just wanted to tie the room together. You could say the same things that you just said about Tammy Abraham. You could say them about Nicola Zaleski.
A guy
who needs the minutes, a guy who costs you, a guy who has no future at the club. It's quite evident that it's not going to work with someone, gone are the days of the jolly. And unfortunately, Nicola Zaleski at Roma became a jolly, and one that is not good at anything, like the history of most jollies at Roma goes.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Exactly. With only 1 year left on his contract, Zaleski is also, these are him and Abraham. I think keep your eyes open, because if there are pieces that are going to be moved, those are the two main ones that could help you later on in your investments before the end of the summer. Those are the two names where you can make not a lot of money, but some money.
Even if it's only a few million euros, you're going to make up everything on him, everything above. It is all plus Valenza, because obviously they come from the academy. You grow; they came from your youth team, so you're going to make a lot on them. This thing with Zaleski, you said it. I think you were one of the first to notice this, but when you just see him play for Poland versus Roma, there has never been more of a clear sign that it is just not going to happen here. Unfortunately, because he seems like a nice guy, never have I doubted his professionalism. He has a very, very good temperament. He's not a pain in the backside. He's just not. I can't tell you to this day. It's been, what, three seasons of him? I can't tell you his position. Neither can you. I don't know his best role on the pitch.
No way of knowing here. No. De Rossi even tried him in a more offensive role because that's where he excelled at with Primavera. It's just a matter of him not being compatible with this place anymore. It happens. Yes. It's unfortunate when it happens to a product of the academy, but that's what happened to Alessandro Florenzi, for example. I'm not going to go out and say that Florenzi played amazing for other clubs. Perhaps his more decent playing was for Milan in a limited role during their Scudetto run. But otherwise, we're talking about players who are shot in confidence and who have very little to give Roma. This is not the season where you can afford to have such players on the roster taking up space. Nicola Zaleski, 1 year left on his contract. It's time to go, pal.
I couldn't agree more. Hopefully people learn from the thing with Florenzi about we can't just hold on to them because, you know, they're Romanista, they're from the city. Not enough of a reason. We will leave it there. Dovbyk to Roma, very exciting. We got our week full of transfer market action. Now you can have your fill. There is still 1 month remaining. It's out of the way, though. Don't expect much. The exciting part is over with. Now, thankfully, now you can go and begin to concentrate on this season. Because remember, Romelu Lukaku, you don't get your number 90 to the third match of the season with Milan. Well, now that's not the problem. He's going to have almost 3 full weeks to prepare with Roma, to prepare under De Rossi. Couldn't really ask for more. Gisolfi, I'm so, so impressed. All right, we'll be back in a few days. Until next time, everyone. Ciao.